Jets fans, and welcome back to yet another edition of the Jet Stream, the official New York Jets podcast of Gotham Sports Network. My name is Jesse Finver, and with me, as always, Connor Sheeran. Connor, 5-2, baby.
5-2. 5-2.
Unbelievable. I can't believe it. I mean, listen, if you would have told me before the season that the Jets would go on a four-game win streak, I mean, just at any point.
Literally at any point of the season, let alone now, you know.
I would have laughed in your face. So there's a whole lot that we need to talk about.
Been a busy week.
It's Tuesday, and it's been a busy week, to say the least. Wow, the Giants are up to fourth in ESPN's power rankings. The Jets are up to eighth.
Wow, I saw the Ringer had the Jets at like 12th or 13th. Still the Dolphins ahead of them.
The Jets are up to eighth. The Jets have the fourth best scoring margin in the fourth quarter, obviously. We knew that, but it's at plus 54 now, which is awesome. I mean, dude, it has been an unbelievable stretch of games. This is more than we could have ever dreamed. And yet at the same time, I feel an incredible sadness. Due to the number of injuries that the Jets sustained on Sunday. We will get to that. But I just want to get your initial reaction on the Jets' victory over the Denver Broncos.
These types of wins happen. They are wins nonetheless. When you win, ugly, beautiful, no matter what it is, it's a win. That was about as ugly of a win as you're ever going to find with the Jets. But you know, the important thing is that they kept that streak going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They are, like you said, they're 5-2. They are, what was it, tied for third in the AFC in terms of record. It's like Bills, Chiefs, and then the Jets tied with like one or two other teams, I believe. So if you told me that, the Jets would be in third place in the conference at any point of this season, I'd call you a liar. But yeah, that is not the case. That is in fact the truth. It was a very stressful game between the penalties and the offense, but they pulled it out. You know, you always like to see that.
Do you think Brett Rypien? Do you think? I mean. It's tough to word this question correctly, but like, I mean, I think the Jets got a little lucky that Russell Wilson wasn't playing, despite how terrible he's been.
Yeah.
This season, he's definitely better than Brett Rypien.
Is it Rypien? I forget. Doesn't matter.
I don't know.
I think it's Rypien because I heard Charles Davis be like, Rypien's got to let it rip. He like loved saying that a couple times.
Well, you know, it might be. It wasn't. I mean, his uncle is Mark Rypien.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Who won the Super Bowl? Pretty sure.
Right.
Right.
I believe so.
Yeah. With Washington, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Wow, we're so young. especially me. I mean, come on. Yeah. All right. So yeah, 16-9. Storylines from this game. We'll start with Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Because we've mentioned the injuries. We will get to that. That's going to be a whole other discussion. But Zach Wilson struggled again. 16-26, 121 yards. Some throws he just straight up missed. He did not look very good at all. It was frustrating watching him play quarterback this weekend, something that we haven't really had to say that much outside maybe last week also. But, I mean, when he's 4-0. It's really tough to be upset about how this game went when you get the win.
Yep.
You know, but you can absolutely be critical of how things went and be realistic about what's going on here. Zach's struggling throwing the ball outside of the fourth quarter, mainly. You know, in the fourth quarter, he's played. I mean, it's been night and day. And I don't really understand it. I'm not complaining too much because, you know, I mean, when you're plus 54 in the fourth quarter, generally that means you're a pretty good football team, that you know how to close games, and this team has done a really good job of that. But if you want to compete with the best teams in the conference and even the league, you need to put together four full quarters. You're not going to beat Buffalo.
No.
You could lose to New England playing this way. You know, I understand.
They got their shit kicked in last night or Monday night against the Bears, you know?
Yeah. Zach needs to be better.
Yeah.
I think that much is obvious. And I think a lot of it had to do with, it had to do with game flow. Not more so last game than this game. But in this one, because last game they dominated the Packers, they didn't need to throw.
Right.
This one, you know, they definitely could have used him and his arm here. However, this is the top five defense in the league with arguably the best secondary. They have an elite pass rush, Bradley Chubb, and then they have Patrick Surtain and Kareem Jackson. I mean, they have all these really good defensive backs and pass rushers. Just like the Jets do, you know, this is a very even defensive matchup. It just, you know, when you get a 62 yard rushing touchdown from Breece Hall, who, you know, set the fastest miles per, like he was, yeah, the fastest guy in the league, according to that run, which just makes his injury that much more difficult to swallow. I know it sucks. But you know what? It's part of the sport. This is a very violent sport and it happens. And you just got to get used to that. I think that a thing that was talked about plenty, but I think needs to be talked about a lot this week and moving forward needs to be discussed, is no Elijah Moore there.
Which did have an impact.
It did. As I was going to say, like it not having Elijah Moore really hurt the offense, just as much as not having Breece Hall. I don't think Elijah setting that block that Denzel Mims did on that 62 yard rushing touchdown from Breece Hall. But outside of that, I mean, Mims dropped the ball. I understand it was definitely behind him, but you still have to catch that ball. And the passing offense in general, it was awful. Gary Wilson, 4 catches for 24 yards. Tyler Conklin, 4 catches for 22 yards. Braxton Berrios, 3 catches for 15 yards. No one really had. Michael Carter had a 37-yard run, but that was all like catch and run.
Yeah.
And Garrett Wilson.
Him rather than like Zach's throw or something.
Yeah, and Garrett Wilson's 12-yard reception was all yak as well.
Right.
It's concerning. It really is concerning to see the pass offense struggle this much. We're officially into year two with Zach Wilson.
Yep.
Was it last week his 17th game, or is this week coming up his 18th game? Like, how does?
Yeah, I think this was. I think that was his 17th game. So technically, this week will be week one of season two for him.
Yes.
His 18th game, and yeah, like you said, I mean, I said it last night. I think when I was watching Justin Fields, who did have actually a very good game against the Patriots.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch any of that game.
It was entertaining, but maybe that was just because the Patriots were getting, you know, demolished.
Stopped.
Yeah. But they would have lost like 40-14, but the Bears took like a knee on like the goal line at the end of the game to like, you know, just not risk injury or anything like that.
Right.
But, Zach has the same kind of issue as Fields, where he just refuses to throw the ball away. He just like, it's like not encoded in his passing DNA or something. There was just so many plays watching on Sunday where I was like standing up and like shouting at my TV like a maniac, just throw the ball away. And it happened all the time on Sunday because of the pass rush. The Broncos were in the backfield a lot, especially after AVT went down. You know, they just, like you said, they have a very good pass rush. Even if the Jets' offensive line was at full strength, that pass rush was going to get in there anyway. You know, they were just that good. And Zach didn't have a lot of time, and he was struggling to just nail passes. I remember the very first drive, very first set of downs, he missed like 3 passes that they should have hit. You know,
yeah,
point blank, he should have hit them. And that, you know, you kind of get a feeling almost with him based on like the first drive of a game, how things might go, you know, if it's a combination maybe of his passes and runs, like maybe they get a first down, or, you know, in a perfect world, it's all passes that get a first down or something like that. You kind of get in behind it. Okay, today's going to be good for him. But then once that first drive went out and the Broncos got the ball, I was like, this could be a tough day for him. This could be like the Packers game where they're back in and they're giving the ball, you know, but obviously it was before he got hurt. They give the ball to Breece, and he's just going to be the workhorse today.
Yeah.
And it kind of turned into that. And then it only got worse, obviously, when Corey Davis got hurt, who thankfully doesn't sound like he has a season-ending injury.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Or Breece. And, you know, they were without Elijah Moore. So it went down to, you know, it was Garrett Wilson, Berrios, Jeff Smith, and Mims as the wide receivers, which is, you know, it's not
ideal.
It's not what we envisioned. And, you know, and then you still have Conklin and Uzama, but so it was a struggle on offense. It was a slog the entire game. The best play was the Breece Hall run. Without that run, they don't get a touchdown. They lose that game. So, you know, a lot of it is riding now on Wilson. And you and I said it before the season started. He doesn't have the excuses anymore. He's not a rookie. Salah's not a rookie. LaFleur's not a rookie. So it's on him with the, you know, unit they've built around him to really start succeeding here, because he's losing faith of, you know, Jets fans everywhere. I mean, there's some people in the Gotham Slack channel that have officially lost faith in Zach Wilson. I think you and I are still teetering.
Yeah.
But also, we also got to remember, it's not like he's going anywhere. They're not going to ditch him after year two. They're not going to draft a quarterback this season, no matter how bad Zach ends up being. You know, they're 5-2. They've won all the games with him. Sure, it's not because of him. Maybe the Steeler game, you can have an argument with that fourth quarter, but he's also...
Yeah, no, the Steeler game, he put the team on his back.
He put the team on his back in that fourth quarter and helped win them the game. Sure, you can give him that one. But also, it's like you and I have said, he's not costing them games. It's not like week two of last year against the Patriots where he threw four interceptions and cost them the game.
Right.
Not that. And people have been making the argument with him, saying it's like, you and I have said it, you know, he's been managing games really well. And then the argument comes in, well, you don't draft a guy to be a game manager. Sure. But at the same time, I don't care what his stats are. I don't have him in fantasy football. I want to see the Jets win. That's all I care about. I'm not going to own him in fantasy football.
It's such a weird feeling to open the show talking about Zach Wilson's struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Because it feels like, based off of this conversation, the Jets are 2-5.
Right.
But they're not. They're 5-2. And they've won four straight. And it's perplexing. We know why the Jets keep on winning. It's because they've been running the hell out of the ball. They had 155 rush yards this week. And they've had an elite defense. Arguably the best in football. It's been unbelievable to watch this defense work every single week. You know, knock on wood, I mean, they've been healthy, and which has been great. Sauce Gardner, I think, single-handedly put the Jets in position to win the game. You know, it's the rookies week after week. You know, Breece scoring the touchdown, and I obviously understand that that was the last contribution he'll make for the 2022 Jets. But man, what a contribution it was. Him and Sauce basically won the game I wouldn't say single-handedly because it's two people, but together they really put the team on their back this week.
Sauce helped seal it towards the end of the
game.
It was like the first play after the 2-minute warning in the fourth, where Broncos needed it. It was 4th-and-3, and Rippon made like it felt like a classic Jets move. It was 4th-and-3. You can watch the replay. He had two guys running drag routes. Either one of them could have easily gotten the first down. And that's when he took the shot at the end zone that Sauce broke up. I remember watching him like, what is he doing? And then, you know, we got lucky because
that was fourth down that happened. That he did that. Yeah. I mean, like, I guess like you're hoping he's hoping that they
get
something to draw a penalty.
Yeah.
And Sauce, I mean, he did. I mean, there was hand fighting, and there are people who think that was pass interference because he grabbed his collar a little bit. But you know what? Didn't get called. Sauce has been lights out. Three passes defended this week. Same with DJ Reed. Three passes defended. You know, I feel like most of the receiving yards, like Judy's 45-yard reception, was on Joyner in zone coverage. You know, a lot of Greg Dulcich's yards and Eric Tomlinson, former Jet. Yeah, I mean, these guys had big days. 6 for 51 for Greg Dulcich. I mean, these are all like soft zone coverage stuff. The Jets play a really great brand of defense where they're going to give you the underneath stuff. You're not getting a big play on them. And I can't. When was the last big play that the Jets have let up? Probably that Tyler Boyd touchdown.
Yeah, I'd say so. Out of like, yeah, the season, probably that.
Yeah, probably that Tyler Boyd touchdown against Cincy where the missed tackle on Whitehead. And since then, this team has just been unbelievable. And I keep using that word, unbelievable. Can you believe that this is happening?
No. I'm without belief
that yeah.
this happened over the course. And not only that, like, four-game winning streak, but two of the games, like, they beat the brakes off their opponent. Like,
yeah,
the Dolphins game and the Packers game. Like, the other two, like, they had the comeback against the Steelers, which was obviously awesome, and then this one was just an ugly win. By the way, I hope NFL schedule makers, if you're listening, never send the Jets to play in Denver again. I never see them play in Denver.
I hate it so much.
I hate playing there so much. Like, I never want to see them play there. But, yeah, four-game win streak, two of them being three-score victories, feels pretty good.
I'm looking at the defensive stats right now because I wanted to talk about Sauce a little bit more. He's leading the league in passes defended, but I just looked at sacks. Matthew Judon leading the NFL in sacks with 8.5. Can't wait to play him this week. Jesus Christ.
8.5?
Yeah. There's 7 games.
They've only played 7 games.
I know.
God.
That'll
be fun next week.
So I think Sauce has cemented himself as a top 10 cornerback in the league. Like widely viewed already as that guy. And he might, I think he's top 5 already. Probably you'll take like, what Slay and Bradbury are doing in Philadelphia is unbelievable so far. I got to stop using that word. I think that Trayvon Diggs is having a really good season. He's definitely figured some things out. And then probably Patrick Surtain, like, you know, with Denver. But to be able to put Sauce in that list of names, it's amazing. It really is. It's a testament to how well he's played this season and how much of an impact he's had.
I mean, like
anytime that they're throw, anytime when you watch the Jets, anytime the quarterback is winding up to throw the ball deep, there's no like fear in my heart, and that's something I haven't experienced in over about a decade.
Right.
When 24 was roaming the sidelines with 31.
Speaking of him, though, Did you listen to Benigno yesterday?
No, but I saw 24 tweeted.
What did he say?
He said Sunday. He goes, "What did he say? I gotta get it.
Like Mondays feel better when the Jets win or something. Or something along those lines.
He's like, it's crazy. I'm just gonna read it. My day is so much better when the Jets win.
Yeah.
Yep. Same. Darrell.
So yeah, Benigno did his weekly. Weekly spot on Tiki. And he said, I listened to some of it today, but he said that Sauce and DJ Reed are already more impressive to him than Revis and Cromartie. Which I had to take a step back and I was like, Joe.
I mean, let's
bro, I love
a little bit. Sauce is awesome and he's doing it he's doing it earlier than Revis did it, and he's awesome and I love him for that, but why are you making me pick between my two kids?
Right. You can't do that. Like that's not fun.
Why are you making me pick between children who I love more? Like what are you trying to do? Tear us apart, Joe? No, it's way too early to make that. I mean, yeah, Revis did it for like 5-6 seasons in a row. But he's certainly Sauce is certainly putting himself in the conversation for best defensive back in quite a long time.
Yes.
To be a Jet. All right. So I think it was a good win on the road against the Broncos.
Came at a cost.
And we can talk about this now. Breece Hall went down. He has a torn ACL and an MCL injury. I don't know if they said it was a torn MCL or not, but I'm assuming.
Was it MCL or meniscus?
Meniscus. Sorry. Yeah, it might be a torn meniscus too.
There's so many things in there.
ACL,
PCL, MCL.
Yeah, and you know what? He'll be fine. The ACL, MCL stuff is like the guys are just coming back from that like it's nothing these days.
Yeah.
Which is just great. So we'll have him back next year, and we know that we have a stud in Breece. I mean, his patience and his explosiveness is not going to go anywhere with the way that, especially the patience, obviously. That's nothing to do with your knee injury. But his explosiveness, we'll see, but it should be okay. AVT, really just, I mean, it kind of came out, it felt like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They said he came out of the game with an elbow injury, and that sounds super painful. Like it was a torn tricep, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it tore from his elbow, and that's where the pain must have been. Like, it just like when I heard elbow, I was like, oh, just throw him in a brace, I'll be fine.
Yeah. It's been
These are the two best guys on the Jets, probably.
Sure.
It really is incredible that they won this game without them. It really is, especially against an offense. I mean, a defense that good in Denver, but they're also just very incompetent right now, which is crazy because they have a ton of talent on this team, but they just don't have the quarterback play and they don't have the coaching either. Denver's coaching.
Nathaniel Hackett is garbage. And we all know that through seven games.
Yeah. He's so, so bad. It's really incredible how he's fumbling this bag right here. So yeah, I think that this was a good win, but it came at a cost. It's going to be really difficult to replace Breece and AVT. I don't think you can do it on the fly. So we'll see. The Jets did make a trade, which we'll talk about. And I bet they're probably submitting a trade to the league office right now as we record, because that's just how our luck is for an offensive lineman.
Pretty sure we said last week that, I think we talked about the Elijah Moore stuff, and it was just like, I think it was you that you'll be like, yeah, they'll work him, man. It'll be fine. And then 2 days later, Elijah Moore switched straight
across. Oh, yeah. I said, happens. Oh, he gets it.
Yeah, he gets it.
I said, he gets it. He's the tweets he sent, like, he's still repping his teammates. He understands what's good. No, and then he requested a trade, and he's dead to us now, which is crazy. Until he goes for like 125 receiving yards and two touchdowns next week or something ridiculous.
Listen, I said it. I hope he went in today. Well, Wednesday when everyone's actually there. Salah said he was there yesterday working out, but I hope he when they're all there. I hope he went to the locker room and he said, my bad, I'm here. You guys know how I feel, but while I'm here, I'm here to play. That's the way it is.
I hope he gets like 10 targets a week, and he's like, you know what? I want to stay, and I'm feeling better now.
I saw some people saying that some fans saying that he needs to apologize to us. I'm like, no.
He needs to apologize to his teammates, and that's it. What an
apology should be? Yeah, go out, get 100 yards receiving, and get two touchdowns on Sunday. That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
if I don't do that. There's your apology to me. All's forgiven after that. I don't care. You know,
We care about winning.
We care about winning. And if you want, and guess what? If Corey Davis is out, which it sounds like he's probably not going to, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about him. But let's say Corey Davis isn't playing on Sunday. Guess what? Here comes some targets. You're going
to
get
Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Braxton Berrios is enough to win against this New England Patriots team. We'll talk about that later, though. We have news to discuss. So we obviously discussed Elijah Moore and the fact that he requested a trade and he's dead to us until he comes back and, you know, goes off. Other news. We mentioned Breece Hall and his injury. We mentioned Corey Davis and his injury. And we mentioned AVT and his injury. Now, there's rumors right now that Joe Douglas is working on a trade for a potential Laremy Tunsil or a, is it Jack Conklin?
Jack Conklin, yeah.
Is he related to Tyler Conklin?
Good question. I don't know.
Huh. Two Conklins on the team would be cool.
Two Wilsons, two Halls.
I know.
They're just stacking them up.
It's honestly, it's like zero Halls now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Bryce Hall has not played.
Not played.
Like at all this season. I mean, he was getting just torched in preseason, so serves you right. Maybe that serves you right. That sounded very cold and very mean.
We used to love him. He was the hall monitor.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Bryce. Jeez, I'm sorry. Anyway, other news. The Jets made a trade. Connor. And I like the trade. You're giving up like a nothing day three pick. And in it, with this deal, you're getting a guy who can legitimately contribute right away. Is he the guy I would have picked first? No, I would have traded like a fourth rounder for Kareem Hunt. I would have done that for sure. Expiring deal. We're 5-2. I want to win this year.
Right.
Like you don't waste winning seasons in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something you do. So the Jets traded for James Robinson out of Jacksonville. It's a guy who's kind of lost favor. He's kind of lost favor with Jacksonville. He played like 17% of this team's snaps last week. And let me see. Hold on. It was less than 20% of the team snaps last week. Travis Etienne clearly has taken over that backfield.
Yeah.
But this is a guy.
Touches on Sunday.
Yeah, he didn't get many touches. But it's more so because I think that he was dealing with a nagging injury.
Mm-hmm.
But he's fine. I mean, I don't think he passes physical. They wouldn't have traded for him if he was like legitimately hurt. And Etienne has just been trending towards him taking that job. That's what they drafted him for. Robinson's 24. He's small. He's 5'8", I believe, or 5'7", 215 to 20-ish pounds. He's not a game breaker like Breece was, the guy who can hit the home run. The fastest he's ever run on a touchdown was 20 miles an hour, and that was back two, three seasons ago. He's ran for 1,000 yards in 2020. He caught 49 passes that year. He has 18 career touchdowns. And he's a solid guy. I mean, he's 8-for-8 on the 1 yard line,
right?
Goal line situation. He's 8-for-8 scoring touchdowns. He's a bruiser. He's like a poor man's Maurice Jones-Drew. The Jaguar connection and just the height, the way they run. But he runs very angrily. I'm a fan of his. I think that he can definitely help this offense. Carter will be more of the Robinson will be more of the thunder and Carter will be more of the lightning.
Mm-hmm.
What is your reaction to this trade?
I was excited. I mean, I didn't think of James Robinson as even like a potential target. You know, I wasn't paying attention to the Jaguars Giants game as much on Sunday because I just had red zone on and that game was very low scoring. So they really weren't on it as much. So I had no idea Robinson got zero touches until last night when I saw that the trade had gone through. But I've always liked Robinson too. And I think the biggest thing is that it's good to see that Joe Douglas and Saleh weren't content with just running out there with Carter and Ty Johnson again. They went out and they knew that they had to get someone else. And because Ty Johnson is a special teams guy, him and Berrios are the guys that return kicks. So they knew that that's where Ty Johnson is better rather than being a running back. Ty Johnson also can't catch the ball, can't catch passes. So that also helps. But having a guy like James Robinson next to Carter is, you know, it's not Breece Hall and Michael Carter, but Michael Carter and James Robinson is it's a solid running back room to have. And Michael Carter will now be the lead back again. But I feel like that goes to show how good Breece was, because everyone coming out of last season was like so pumped about Michael Carter. We're like, dude, we got our running back. Like, this dude is legit. And then you know, I also talked about it at some point. It's like, oh man, like, Jets drafted Breece Hall. Like, what about Michael Carter? Like, what are they going to do with him? And then obviously Breece Hall took off, but now it's like Michael Carter's sliding back in. So it's, we should still be excited. I mean,
he's good. Yeah. Michael Carter is a good running back.
He's good. Like, it's just like, obviously when you're comparing the two, it's as good as Breece Hall's been in the past couple of weeks. So we should say, like, as much of a, you know, issue as Breece Hall going down is, Michael Carter and James Robinson should be ready to step up. I don't know if they said Robinson is going to play on Sunday, but I mean, Christian McCaffrey got traded on Thursday and suited up for the Niners on Sunday. So
I think you just go, James, run.
Crazy. Yeah, I was going to say, crazier things have happened.
Yeah. Like, I think that he can play.
If Zach hands the ball off to you, just run forward. You're good.
Right. Yeah. So, James Robinson, 54 pass blocking snaps since 2021, zero QB hits allowed, zero sacks allowed, which is great in pass protection. Also, we'll probably see him on passing downs and Michael Carter on early downs. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I think that this is a great addition and something the Jets desperately needed. I don't know. On the other side of things, I don't know about ABT. I don't know how they replace a guy like him, a guy who played three different positions for us at an elite level and was just doing everything in the run game for the Jets. And it's going to be really difficult to replace him. And they could trade for a Laremy Tunsil or a Tyler Conklin all they want, or Jack Conklin, excuse me, all they want. I just don't know if that's going to be the. I don't know how you replace a guy like him. Mm-hmm. It's just so difficult to replace a guy like him. And if Joe Douglas is serious about competing this year, contending, then you're going to have to do more than give up a day three pick.
Yeah. You're right.
That's
just the way it is.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think that it definitely was going to be very interesting to see how Joe handles the rest of this week and next week as we approach the trade deadline. But the Jets have some needs. The Jets have some serious needs. And it's a good feeling knowing that we have an adult upstairs in the GM's office who knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing. So any final thoughts on Denver?
We said it. I think the Jets just have to naturally be better on Sunday. They can't go out there against the Patriots. Forget Monday Night Football with the Patriots lost to the Bears. It's a new week. The Jets can't play in like they did in Denver on Sunday. Patriots always bring the noise when they play the Jets. They got to be better than they were yesterday. More specifically, Zach's got to be better. It's got to be better than the way he played the past 2 weeks. That's it, you know?
Yep. Yeah. And I've seen people like Chris Sims is out here defending Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. You know, we got people... Like real people being like putting themselves out there and saying like, you know, Jets fans, calm down a little bit. Maybe we are like, you know, being a little.
I think the biggest thing is that people are getting, I mean, all of us, we're getting lost in the fact that Wilson hasn't been impressive the past 2 weeks and all that. But we're forgetting that the Jets are one on a 4-game winning streak. And, you know, two, that Wilson also hasn't turned the ball over in 3 weeks. There's also that. So but I think that that's the biggest thing is that, yes, we should calm down a sec. We should take a deep breath because,
you know.
If
he's not turning the ball over, all he needs to do is, like once he starts making the play, like the downfield throws and stuff, and if he's good, if he's smart enough to know when to throw the ball and when not to throw the ball, which it seems like he's like, yes, he makes like these crazy like scramble plays and stuff. And we're just screaming, throw the ball away.
Right.
But like he is throwing the ball away. He's not like forcing it into triple coverage. Like we saw him do last year. He's definitely like shown that he's learned from his mistakes. And that's something that you can build off of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely a little teachable, but it's also partially not teachable. You have to have that instinct and know like, you know, you know, it's very difficult to solve the turnover issue, and normally there are not many quarterbacks that start their careers turning the ball over a ton and then fix it. Like Peyton Manning, that's the one that everybody likes to point to. He led the league in interception and set the interception record as a rookie, and then went to become Peyton Manning. But like then you look at guys like Brett Favre, who were obviously Hall of Famers and great, but also like could not stop turning the ball over no matter what he did.
Right, exactly. Or Eli Manning. Pretty sure he didn't have a season where he was under double-digit interceptions.
Right.
And Eli Manning's going to go to the Hall of Fame. You know? Yeah.
So if Zach Wilson can go without double-digit turnovers this season, makes me feel really good about him.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. And I know we were just saying it before, you know, we don't care what his stats are as, you know, fantasy. We're not talking. Too many people get hung up on stats. Is the fact that he hasn't thrown a passing touchdown since the Steeler game concerning?
And that's definitely concerning.
At that, the passing touchdown he did get in the Steeler game was like a goal line pass to a wide open Corey Davis. So
a well-schemed play.
Is that concerning at all?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely concerning. I think it's definitely concerning, but it feels so nice knowing that we have a quarterback who isn't going to turn the ball over. Like he just isn't doing it. And like I saw Ian Harritz, he like posted like it's Zach Wilson time. Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And like they show like all of the crazy like plays where like he's scrambling and running for his life. All right, you know what the alternative option is? It's Joe Flacco taking the sacks. You know, Zach, these are all plays where Zach was able to get the ball away. And like, he thinks that it's like, this guy like posted this video being like, wow, like Zach Wilson, like you're out of your mind. What are you doing? It's him just making good plays, like avoiding pressure and getting the ball like out of his hands and getting rid of it.
Right.
You know, last year he's just holding onto the ball and hoping to make something. Like they show like the Green Bay one where he threw it in the end zone. That was a bad one. But all the other plays are just him like just scrambling, running for his life, trying to make something happen. And a wide receiver like it hitting off the helmet, like the Conklin one against the Dolphins, or you know, just general unluckiness and or lack of pass protection. But there's plays where like I mean the one in the Steeler game where like his leg almost got trapped and then he like did the spin move and everything. I mean, yeah, he's just getting the ball. Like he's not turning it over. We're not taking debilitating drive killing sacks like we were with Joe Flacco. And I think that's the biggest thing here. So
that's okay. Sacked in that Bronco game 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, instead it was
like the low side.
Instead it was something, it was not even close to that. So let's see. How many sacks did we let up on? I don't think we let up that many. We had one sack. It was Huff and Lawson together. And then turnovers we forced Mosley got that interception robbed from him. Ripon had one interception thrown, and that was to who was that to? Who Joyner.
Yeah.
Joyner came around. Who like he got burned by Judy, but then he made up for it there. They had 3 sacks. Draymond Jones had 2. Mike Purcell had 1, had a half, and Nick Benito had a half. So, yeah, sloppy win, good win. You know, any win on the road is a good win. The Jets are 4-0 and on the road, out of control.
Win is a win is a win.
Yep, and now comes the biggest game of the season.
Thus far.
Which it really has been a biggest game of the season. Yes, thus far, but still, like, it really is incredible. That we're in week 8 now, and we're playing meaningful football games against division rivals, and the Patriots are coming in, and they've looked awful. So you watched the game last night.
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts on what the hell happened. Jets are opening up as road dog, as home dogs, by the way. But
which I'm glad. I'm happy about.
Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones played.
They did. Yeah. Mac Jones. Well, I don't know if you saw the clip of Mac Jones nearly kicking. What's his name? One of the Bears DBs. Like, as he was like, the Bears DB, like, it was the guy who got the interception. you know, they kicked him in the nuts, but he's like sliding right over him. And then like the very next play or like two plays later, Mac Jones threw the interception to him. But Mac Jones looked terrible. It was his first game back. He didn't look good. You know, he looked either he's still playing a little bit hurt or he just looked incredibly rusty. And after he threw the interception, Belichick pulled him out, put Zappe back in, and Zappe immediately goes out and throws a touchdown. So it's they.
They just look awful.
Second half, he didn't look that great either. You know, he finished the game with like 180.
Yeah. So I have it right here. Zappe 14 for 22, 185, a touchdown, two interceptions. Jones three of. They only had him throw six balls, 13 yards, an interception, replaced in first half.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, what's Bill doing?
Well, it was also pouring rain, so I imagine that, you know, he was taking that into consideration with Mac Jones, at least.
That's wild.
Yeah, but, I don't know. They just look really sloppy, and now they have, a QB controversy on their hands. I mean, it's one of the – it's, like, the argument – Zappy's the hot hand, but Mac Jones was the guy you picked in the first round last year. So what are you going to do? Did Mac Jones already get Drew Bledsoe? Is Zappe your new Tom Brady? Like, what are we doing here? So it's interesting to see who Belichick chooses to start on Sunday. But you got to think he's going to choose one and commit to it, because switching quarterbacks willy-nilly in, like, the middle of a game isn't cohesive for success, I feel like.
I agree. I mean, I watched next to nothing of this game, and my takeaway, I'm just reading the box score, is that the Jets should win this game, man. The Jets should win this game. I need to look at the stats for this Patriots game. Because I thought I saw something that said that they let up like 200 rushing yards.
The Patriots?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, Justin Fields was running all over them.
So let me say.
He was smoking them.
Fields 13 of 21. Oh, my God. 179 yards, a touchdown, interception, and then 14 carries for 82 yards and the touchdown. Yeah. Now, Wilson isn't going to be doing that.
No.
But I mean, come on. I mean, this is 243 rush yards is unbelievable. As I've been saying all,
you said it this.
Yeah. We had like five or six. It really is, though. That's not something you see from a Bill Belichick defense. No. 243 rush yards, 5.4 yards per carry. Dante Pettis had a 29-yard rush. What?
Yeah, it was a weird game.
Yeah, this is bizarre. And then, like, Devontae Parker 3 for 68. He's not gonna catch a ball. I'm not worried about the Patriots at all. I'm really not. That's how good I think the Jets defense is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill can do whatever he wants, but Devontae Parker is not getting open on Sauce. And Jacoby Myers is not getting open on Sauce, and Reed will take Parker or whoever Sauce isn't on. The secondary, the Jets have like just too good of a secondary to be worried about these guys. So, you know, I look at this matchup, I look at last night, and I know like I said three times already, I didn't watch the game. However, I have watched a lot of the Patriots this year. I'm not worried about these guys. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not. Ramondre Stevenson he runs hard. You know, he had a total of, it looks like 98 total yards, 11 carries for 39 yards and a touchdown, and then 8 catches for 59 yards. The linebackers are just so fast this year that we haven't really struggled with the running back out of the backfield like we have in years past.
Yeah.
We had Hamza Nazaldeen and Blake Cashman's running around like they have their heads cut off. They're like chickens with their heads cut off. You know, the defensive line is just playing so well. I'm really not worried about it. it's not like the Broncos could run the ball that well, but the Packers certainly can.
Yeah.
With those two running backs, and the Jets have, I mean, just shut down opposing offenses this year. Obviously, it's Bill.
It's Bill. And he, it doesn't matter if the Jets are undefeated, if they don't have a single win, Bill Belichick, he focuses all his hatred, his anger, everything he's got every season on beating the Jets. And he will make sure that he beats the Jets twice.
You know what, though?
To beat the Patriots was 2015. So it's been quite some time.
You know what though? He can use that hatred all he wants. He can have that hatred. Because we were born with that hatred. We were molded by it.
Deep in the muck.
All right. We've been swimming in this hatred for decades now. And if Bill wants to stoop himself down to this level, do you think that these Jets don't have that 54-piece plan all week?
Oh, yeah.
When they were up 40 and they were still slinging it on us?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that Robert is rallying the troops?
He's pulling out
Coach Sala is saying, listen, I know we lost Elijah. And I know Elijah Vera Tucker. And I know we lost Breece. But we don't have time to mourn them. We don't.
You know what I want to know? What I want? I want it to be like the locker room speech of Friday Night Lights, where Billy Bob Thornton is just like, I want you to look over there at your teammate, Booby Miles.
Yep.
And how much he would kill to be out there on that field with you. I want him to point at Elijah Barrett Tucker and Breece Hall and just be like, how much they would kill to be out in that field with you tonight.
And Breece has never even played the Patriots before. Yeah.
Elijah Barrett Tucker has. He was in both those games last year. Like, he knows.
But these guys, and they don't realize. Like, I don't think they realize how Jets fans feel about the Patriots.
Yeah.
They definitely don't. Maybe their teammates have explained a little bit to them. I think Zach has a bit of an idea because of how Zach, last year went.
I think Zach might hate him as much as we do.
Yeah, I think that
me through the four interceptions, and then he took the two cheap shots that got him injured in the past game in New England. So yeah,
I think that the Jet that players in the locker room remember those cheap shots. Was it Judon who laid that hit on him?
Yeah.
Okay, the Jets remember those. These guys don't forget. We've been saying it all year long that these ain't the same old Jets. All right, mm-hmm. We've been saying it for the last four or five weeks now that these aren't the same old Jets since that Steelers game where the Jets were like. The crazy comeback they had. That's not something that the same old Jets did. And then the last 4 weeks, it's been crazy thing after crazy thing. And at this point, I believe in this team. I think that I think that this is a team that can make some noise this year and make the playoffs and potentially even win a playoff game. Right. As long as Zach keeps the ball in the Jets possession. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have no idea. They have no idea the history between these two franchises. They're coming in fresh. And frankly, they don't give a shit. All right? And part of that is good. Part of that, like, I think that it would be helpful if they knew, but the rest of the team knows how much they hate the Patriots. These young guys, I don't think Bill even realizes it. And I think he'll definitely be like, yo, you know, these Jets, they have a lot of talent.
They're about the Bears. Like, look what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they have a lot of talent on the outside, and they have a lot of talent on the inside, and I really think that we have our work cut out for us this week.
It's a good quarterback.
Zach Wilson's a good quarterback, and I think that we have a real challenge on our hands. And it's gonna be loud in that building, and I think that we have a good football team, but they have a good football team, and it's gonna be a good football game. And Bill, I was asking you about what you had for lunch.
I thought I tried a sandwich. I was kind of curious where you got it from. It looks pretty good. But, you know, that's cool, too.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of these guys. I think that they have a legitimate quarterback controversy going on right now. And these Jets remember what these Patriots have done. And the young, like, the vets remember. The young guys are too green, too young to care about what's happened in the past. And that combination of the ignorance and the not forgetting, the lack of forgetfulness.
Yep.
I think is just the perfect storm. And the Jets are going to stomp the Patriots.
Boy.
On Sunday. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be 20 point win.
Oh, no, don't say that. Yep. Don't do it.
I am. I'm saying it. I'm pulling the, you know what? I think I know what I'm doing here. Somebody needs to lay it down on the sword.
Oh no.
Like our friend move the sticks. And I think that, I'm going to join our friend Daniel Jeremiah.
Oh boy.
And being the lone person to pick the Jets to beat these Patriots, because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, Connor. I'm sick and tired of it. The Patriots are not a good football team. The first step in solving any problem is realizing that we have one. All right. As Jeff Daniels once said, right?
That was good.
Yeah. And the Jets fans have a problem with believing in this team.
We do.
All right, the Patriots are not the best team in the league anymore. All right. I'm sorry for quoting the newsroom so often, but my girlfriend's watching it for the first time.
It's a show that gets hated on a lot. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It more so just gets hate because it's trying to be the West Wing, and it's just...
Yeah, it tried to be the West Wing for news, and
It was good. It's just it wasn't.
It never reached the highs of the West Wing. I mean,
it wasn't elite.
You're never going to touch those first four seasons.
You know what? You know what it is. It's like the Pacific of Band of Brothers.
I like that comparison.
You know what? Like the Pacific is still good. It's just
I think Pacific's great. It's like a different show though.
Yeah, but it's not Band of Brothers.
No.
Right. But, all right. Back to football.
Minor TV.
Yeah, aside there. Sorry, there's just so many references I was throwing out. I just needed to acknowledge. I needed to, you know, have Connor at least acknowledge it. So, Patriots, so far this season, they lost on the road to the Dolphins 20-7. Then they went to Pittsburgh and won 17-14. They lost to the Ravens 37-26. They lost to at Green Bay 27-24. Then they smoked the Lions 29-0. They killed the Browns 38-15, who the Browns are just spiraling and bad football team right now. And then they got absolutely embarrassed on national television at home against the Bears. Now, the old Jets fan of me would be terrified about that.
Right.
Because you don't want to have an angry Bill Belichick, but these Jets are just as angry as he is. They are. They lost their two best players. They're so upset about that, and they want... This is the type of thing where, like, you play for your teammate. Like you mentioned, like, playing for Booby. This is the exact same thing, where it's going to fire them up, and it's gonna draw the team closer together, and the right coaching staff really can take advantage of that, and I think that Bob Sala and this coaching staff are perfect for it. Like, Bob's just an incredible motivator and just a really good coach to have in this sort of situation. And you know what, as angry as the Patriots might be and pissed off they lost at home on national television, you know what, it's been 7 years of that for the Jets. Whatever emotions that these Patriots have in the locker room, being embarrassed and upset about losing to the Bears, all right, the Jets have experienced that tenfold. This organization is sick and tired of it. That being said, are you picking the Jets to win on Sunday?
I am, but not by 20. Not by 20 points, I'll tell you that much.
I'm not giving a direct score either, by the way. I'm just saying they're going to win by like 20. I'm just saying that.
I think you just ran through the Patriots games this year. For as bad as that Bears game was, I think, and this isn't saying the Lions and Browns are good, because they're not, but just the fact that the Patriots still have the capability to hang that many points on opposing teams and shut out the Lions and stuff like that. Is what does scare me a little bit. I mean, good teams beat up on the bad teams. That's just the, you know, fact of life. So I think the Jets do win. I just looked up your favorite thing to look up, ESPN matchup predictor. It's pretty much an even split, 50-50. So the Pats are favored, -1.5.
I love it. That'll be -1.5 by game day.
It's weird too. It's like, for as good as the Jets and the Giants are, they still are getting absolutely no respect from Vegas.
Well, losing Breece and AVT definitely is hurting the Jets in that department. I think that
I was curious. I looked up the Giants are playing in Seattle on Sunday, and they're +3 against Seattle, a little bit. But the matchup predictor, it's 58-41 for Seattle, and the Giants are 6-1. Like it's pretty crazy. Just
Seattle's
like,
Seattle's leading their division.
They are, he's Geno. He's crushed.
I know. Issue is they just lost DK.
They did just lose. Well, is he like out?
I'm not sure. I just know that he got carted off with a knee injury. I can look it up. Let's see what
he's listed right now on ESPN as questionable. But getting carted off obviously is never a good sign.
DK Metcalf. Let's see. What does Twitter have to say? Continue though.
Yeah, no, as far as the Jets-Patriots game goes, I think the Jets do win. I think a lot of it comes down to can Zach Wilson lead this team to score points? I think the defense will be more than fine against either Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi. So I think that, I think that they will win. I think it will be a low-scoring affair because I don't trust the Jets' offense. I do trust the Jets' defense. So I think it could come down to something like a 20-10, a 24-14 type of thing. But I think the Jets do win by, score maybe as many as 10 points. That's my
guess. Schultz report. So Jordan Schultz spoke to DK Metcalf yesterday, and he felt good.
Okay.
So that's what I was looking up. Yeah, I agree. I think the Jets win. I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are, but I think we're on the same page here. And when it comes down to it, the Jets are a better football team than the Patriots. And it's been, it's been a while since you can say that.
2010,
25 years, maybe. Yeah. No, exactly.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, they beat them in the playoffs. But even then people would have thought the Patriots.
Yeah, that was the upset of the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. So, yeah, I'm hoping we're right here. I'm hoping.
Me too.
I think this is one of those teams, man. I thought we had it with the Mets this year, and then the magic kind of ran out, and the magic can certainly run out on this team as well. However, I think the Jets are going to sweep the Patriots.
Sweep them?
Yeah, sweep them. If Bears are going into Gillette and doing that to the Patriots, then yeah, the Jets better win two games against this Patriots team.
Mm-hmm.
These guys stink. They do. I understand I didn't watch this game, but this is just
They are not good.
Lose the Bears at home. You lose all respect there. I think the Jets should be going 3-1 in their next four games.
Yeah.
They're going to lose to Buffalo, but you need to beat the Bears. And you need to beat the Patriots twice. You do.
I think they split it. I think it's 2-2 over the next
four games. But like if you're 8-3 heading into Minneapolis, I'd be okay being 8-5 after that two game stretch where you're the Vikings and the Bills. And then you have Lions, Jaguars, Seahawks, Dolphins to get to 10 wins.
All winnable games. Toughest game out of that stretch was, you said, Lions, Jags.
Seahawks, Dolphins.
And Seahawks is in Seattle, so I would. But the Dolphins are also in Miami.
Right, but this team's 4-0 on the road, so they don't really care. They don't care about home and away.
They do not care about home and away. So,
any final thoughts?
No. I mean, we had a lot to talk about. I feel like we hit the nail on the head. I think with everything here, I'm excited about Sunday. It's the first time they're not first time in. 4 weeks, they're not wearing the white black unis.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Stealth blacks.
The stealth black helmet. So that's another thing. They can't go out and get embarrassed on Sunday. If you go out and you get embarrassed in your alternate unis, it makes it look so much worse.
If you said that last year, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. And yes, I agree with you absolutely this year too. But you're still
I've been hurt too many times.
I know, man. You gotta,
Jesse, they could be up 40-10 with 6 minutes left in the Super Bowl, and I'd still be convinced that they'd lose that game. I'm just, I don't know what it is with me and this team.
It's you just gotta, I want you to just try, not that you aren't, but at least try to enjoy yourself with this team that we have right now. I understand AVT and Breece going down really sucks, but this team is more than just two players.
That you're damn right. Next man up.
The defense is there. You still got a great running back. They're going to make an addition on the offensive line. It's going to be okay with this team.
Mm-hmm.
I really am convinced of that. Yeah, we just need to make sure. When I say we, I mean the Jets need to make sure that Zach is the guy, and we're going to find that out real soon. So
that we are.
That's it. All right. That's it for us, folks. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you want to follow Connor, where can they follow you?
At the NJ Mick on Twitter.
And you can follow me at Jesse Finver. If you want to listen to any of Gotham Sports Network's content or read any of its content, you can go to GothamSN.com, or you can find these podcasts on, you just search Gotham Sports Network on your Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google Play stores, and you'll be able to find Gotham's content. You know, the Yankee season's over, so that pod is obviously wrapping up. We still have New York Giants, the New York Giants podcast, and Ethan and they're doing a fantastic job over there. The Giants are 6-1, obviously. They're having even more fun than we are. It's a fun time to be a New York sports fan for sure. And we're having a good time with this podcast.
New York football fan.
Honestly, I mean, New York sports just in general. We've had, you know, two baseball teams make the playoffs. We had the Rangers make the Eastern Conference Finals. You got, you know, the Rangers back now again. The Knicks are looking all right, and the Nets might be bad. We don't know yet, but the Knicks are looking okay. It's definitely better than it's been. You know, there was that stretch from 2015 to 20 now.
It's been a lot of dark times along the way.
Yeah, it's been a rough 7 years. So it's finally nice that we're seeing some success in this area of the country in sport terms of professional sports. So that's it for us. We'll be back next week. And man, I mean, it might be a really fun episode next week. We haven't had a Pats win episode.
We haven't.
Like a Jets beat. We've started this podcast. So
enough to have one. So
we will see. All right. Peace.